With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program. Coming to you live from Sydney, Australia, we are, where the news of Donald Trump being indicted by the US Department of Justice for mishandling classified government documents, it is headline news. Shortly, I'll play for you what Donald Trump said after the news broke, and we'll get some political analysis too on what this means for Trump's efforts to return to the White House and his chances of avoiding jail. These seven charges are not misdemeanors. This is not out of the prosecution books from Alvin Bragg. These are not misdemeanors. These are felony charges. Now, while it's been a bad day for Donald Trump, it's been a bad week for President Biden. This time last week, you remember this, we were describing his latest fall. Yes, this time last week. Today, he's been bashed in a House inquiry by former senior departmental directors for his administration's appalling lies over the mayhem across the southern border. And a former Democrat is ridiculing the party for trying to bury Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'll weigh all of that up for you very shortly on the show. My special guest today is psychology researcher and professor, distinguished scientist, Dr. Robert Epstein. And for the very first time, someone has done the complex research required to work out that Google has what could be described as a definitive political bent. What kind of bent do you think that is? Dr. Epstein will explain what he's discovered shortly on the program. Just on media too, is the end nigh for AM radio? It is if the world's largest car manufacturers have a say. Now, most of them intend on removing their AM broadcast technology for all new electric vehicles from next year. And the AM talk giants, understandably, they are not happy. And we'll get across all of that for you as well. On the Australian political scene, the government is having a calamitous week after secret text messages and audio recordings surfaced of a plan to use an allegation of rape inside Parliament House to bring down the former government. So much for the alleged victim. Three senior ministers, including the PM himself, have been exposed as being very loose with the truth. We'll hear from federal leader of One Nation on this today, Pauline Hanson. Pauline also wants to warn the public about the lack of proper governance inside several Indigenous councils in Australia, where safeguards against fraud have been ignored. This, of course, is a very strong argument against installing yet another Indigenous council in the form of the Voice to Parliament. So Pauline Hanson on the program today. And should the portraits of former soldier and VC recipient Ben Robert Smith be removed from Canberra's war memorial? Well, I'm told that the board ruling the war memorial are split on this. Some want them removed completely. That is the entire display featuring Ben Robert Smith gone. Others want it to be retained in part. So Pauline will have plenty to say on that topic as well. Our regular Friday political animal, the Liberal Democrat, John Ruddick, he will join us again today. We're talking Trump, Biden, Tucker Carlson, sending fighter jets to Ukraine, and the text messages that do not lie. It is a massive show today, but I've always got time for you, of course. So you can come and join us on the talkback lines. Have your say. It doesn't matter where you are. You can phone directly into our talkback hub by phoning through from the US or Canada on 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, here is your number, 1-800-670-310. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network, tntradio.live.
Unbiased and reliable news coverage.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, it has just gone 2 o'clock in Australia, and that is Friday. for those of you, especially on the west coast of America, where you're still on Thursday's time. And therefore, it is Friday where I am. And in summary, it has not been a very good week for US President Joe Biden. In fact, whether he realizes this himself or not, those around him must concede it's been a terrible 7 days. There are even signs that the party may also be getting paranoid about another Kennedy. Now, I haven't seen a single scribe in any of the mainstream newspapers highlight how he's going from bad to worse this week. But then again, many of you might say that's no surprise. Think about how he handled himself this time last week. There he was at the US Air Force Academy in Colorado, and he performed one of those now famous legless face plants on stage after apparently tripping on a sandbag. And he looked and pointed at the sandbag almost like as if it was going to bite back. He needed to be helped up by an Air Force officer and two members of his Secret Service detail. Not a good look. And especially not a good look when the poll numbers the previous week showed that more Democrat voters than ever before are not convinced he's mentally up to another stint in the White House. Many more than what thought the same thing prior to the 2020 election. In New York during the week, we had that extraordinary appeal from Mayor Eric Adams urging New Yorkers to put homeless migrants in their spare rooms. Such has been the mayhem from Biden's disastrous open border policy. Now, that unprecedented appeal was followed up yesterday in Congress with two former senior immigration and home security directors slamming the current administration's border farce as the worst ever, the worst in history. Joseph Edlow, former Immigration Services Director, and Chad Wolf, former DHS Secretary, did not hold back, accusing the government of lying to Americans about what was really happening.
The Biden administration has seen fit to ignore the law, instead favoring poorly conceived and poorly executed policy decisions. The department has, through its own actions, created the worst border crisis in American history.
Today's border security system is unrecognizable from the America First policies of the Trump administration, or even what was in place during the administrations of President Clinton, Bush, or Obama. Today we see a border not only in chaos, but in crisis, because the Biden administration has dismantled all of the proven policies.
Whoa. So while all of that unravels in the House for Joe, one of those within his own party, who he'll have to beat to take on Donald Trump again, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been the everywhere man. Biden must be paranoid indeed, because when mainstream media commentators attack a seemingly small fry candidate like Kennedy, as they did notoriously this week, you know that government media staff are working the phones, initiating the negative. Former Democratic presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard says she's watching all the same strategies the party employed when she began gaining traction in 2020.
There's a three-step plan that the DNC follows when they want to deal with somebody that they don't want voters to know about. Step one is they try to ignore us. This is exactly what I experienced in 2020 when I ran for president of the Democratic primary, and they're doing the same thing to Kennedy. Ignore him. Pretend he doesn't even exist. If that doesn't work, then they have to pay attention. Number two, seek to smear and discredit. As you just said, Biden themselves have said is their plan to try to discredit him. The Washington Post a couple of days ago just did this lengthy piece throwing everything but the kitchen sink with baseless accusations and lies and all of these things on Kennedy so that they can plant that seed of doubt and concern in voters' minds. And if that doesn't work, they go into step number three, which is pull out all the stops and destroy. And for me, this is when Hillary Clinton went out and started saying that I was a traitor, a Russian asset, going against the country that I love. And they repeat these baseless lies until voters actually start to believe them. And this is exactly what they're doing against Kennedy.
She's right, Tulsi. That's exactly what's happening against Kennedy. Because both sides of politics, in terms of the media, are gravitating towards what he's saying and what he stands for. That's not a good sign for the Biden camp. And so they're doing a hatchet job on him. And so to bookend a very ordinary week for Joe, thanks to a new Reuters Ipsos poll, he suffered another low approval rating of 41%. 54% disapprove of how the president has handled the job. 54. I think we may be seeing the beginning of the end of America's oldest ever commander-in-chief. Meanwhile, the man Biden fears the most, Donald Trump, well, he's had just a bad day, but a pretty bad day. We can't say we weren't warned. The former US president has been indicted by the US Department of Justice for mishandling sensitive government documents. Now, several news outlets reported that Trump has been indicted on 7 counts related to his handling of classified documents and obstruction of justice. All connected, of course, to the many boxes that were taken by the FBI containing 13,000 documents recovered from his Florida residence, Mar-a-Lago. And that was nearly a year ago now, year ago. Trump has previously defended his retention of what was alleged to be classified documents, suggesting he declassified them whilst president. He's been summoned to appear at the federal courthouse in Miami on Tuesday. What a circus that will be. This is how he reacted in a video post earlier today.
It's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax. Just like Russia, 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 just like the fake dossier was a hoax. You saw the Durham report. You saw the Mueller report. It was all a big hoax. You had two impeachments and they lost and we won. And we had tremendous support. But that was a hoax and a scam. And now they're doing it again. It's just a continuation, 7 years, even after I'm out. But it's called election interference. They're trying to destroy a reputation so they can win an election.
Now, this is not what was described as a misdemeanor when Alvin Bragg decided to lay charges on Donald Trump. These are felony charges. And boy, oh boy, doesn't it further complicate the 2024 presidential campaign? The wheels of justice, though, turn very slowly, quite likely way too slowly to reach a conclusion on this indictment before next year's election. But it's a case Trump could clearly do without, although his rusted-on supporters would lap this stuff up. I was thinking about the intent of all this today. What intent did Trump have to take possession of classified documents? Revenge, maybe? Against his foes, both inside and outside of the party, could have been, quite possibly. As a staunch patriot, he was hardly going to sell the classified documents he held to Russia or China. Most of what he held, he probably already knew the contents of anyway, so what difference does it make to have hard copies? It doesn't seem to me to be a crime of evil intent, but if not unclassified before he left office, it is very serious. It's a felony. And may be the case that finally puts Donald Trump as close as he's ever been to a jail cell. On the other hand, can you imagine the end game here? He's running the country again, winning the election, holding session in the Oval Office, and in comes the special prosecutor to cuff the President of the United States in that Oval Office and take him to jail. As of today, that scenario is not so surreal. This is TNT Radio.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
France flight bans. This story has blown up now internationally. Spain, Austria, Germany, other countries now looking at this. Greenpeace is calling for an EU-wide 6-hour ban on flights 6 hours or shorter. This is truly what climate lockdowns look like. This is truly what the Great Reset looks like. It's happening, it's here, and we have to deal with it. So I was on Fox News, I was on Newsmax, I was on One America, I was on The First TV on their climate communism special, which I even told the host, Jesse Kelly. And a few years ago, I would have been uncomfortable calling it climate communism because you'd look like a red baiter and you were just being alarmist. But actually, since March of 2020, you know, and seeing just the naked agenda of what they're proposing, climate communism is not an incorrect term. It is actually a very apt term, and it is incredible how language has shifted. I mean, that was an extreme comment or extreme label a few years ago.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
You're with Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, Google has the power to change minds and move elections to suit its liberal corporate worldview. It is using its virtual monopoly as a search engine to elevate liberal views, stifle conservatives, and manipulate the impressionable minds of children. Just do a Google search yourself on, say, a politically charged or controversial subject and see what results come up on page one. But what's perhaps more important is the search results which don't appear on the first page and get moved to the following pages. How and why does this happen? It's beyond most of us to understand that. New York Post journalist Miranda Devine exposed all this in an article about a fortnight ago. Devine wrote, "You thought Twitter and Facebook censoring the post-Hunter Biden laptop stories was bad. How about 6 million votes shifted to Joe Biden by Google in the 2020 election by manipulating what we read and see online?" she asked rhetorically. Devine's article referred to the in-depth research on this matter by Dr. Robert Epstein. And we are very fortunate to have him on my TNT radio program today. Dr. Robert Epstein is an author, editor, and longtime psychology researcher and professor, a distinguished scientist who is passionate about educating the public about advances in mental health and the behavioral sciences. The former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, Dr. Epstein, is currently senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He is also the founder and director emeritus of the Cambridge Center for Behavioral Studies in Massachusetts. Dr. Robert Epstein, welcome to TNT Radio.
It's my pleasure.
I find what you have discovered here truly fascinating because it has been the labor of a lot of hard work. Google shifted 6 million votes to Biden in the 2020 election by manipulating what we read and see online. Firstly, how did you calculate this number and how certain are you of your conclusion?
Well, I'm quite certain because my team and I have been studying mainly Google, but some other companies as well, now for more than 11 years. And we've done lots of scientific work, running controlled experiments, dozens of them that have been published in top scientific journals. That's how we measure the power that Google has to shift votes and opinions using a bias in their search results and other ways as well, in their answer boxes, their search suggestions. But starting in 2016, we also devised a way to look over the shoulders of real voters all around the U.S. and see what content Google and other companies were sending to real voters. In other words, it's one thing to show they have this power, but are they actually using it is the question. Yeah. In the 2020 election, we had 1,742, we call them field agents, mainly in U.S. swing states, which is where all the action happens, because that's where you're trying to push those states one way or the other, and that's determines sure. who wins the election. We had, as I say, a large number of actual registered voters, and we had recruited them. We had equipped their computers with special software, which allowed us to look over their shoulders, basically grab onto content as Google and other companies were showing them content, and we could measure the bias in that content. We know from our experiments how powerful that bias is, and we just did the calculations. So we know for sure that Google alone probably shifted upwards of 6 million votes to Joe Biden, whom I supported, by the way, in 2020. Generally speaking, this is done without people knowing, because you can't tell, for example, you personally, if you look at search results, whether there's bias in those results. But Google can, and Google constructs those sequences very, very carefully. And if people click near the top of the list, which is what they almost always do, and that takes them to web pages that favor one candidate or the other. And if those people happen to be undecided, and Google knows exactly who those people are, they can easily shift between 20 and 80% of undecided voters toward one candidate or the other after just one search. And of course, over time, over weeks and months with multiple searches with the same bias, they can shift an enormous number of votes. Now, normally, and this is a key here, normally all of this kind of content is ephemeral. It's what internally at Google they call ephemeral experiences. In 2018, some emails leaked from Google to the Wall Street Journal in which Google employees were asking, how can we use ephemeral experiences to change people's views about Trump's travel ban? So they know that this ephemeral stuff like search results, search suggestions, answer boxes, all temporary content that's generated just for the user on the fly, affects the user, disappears, is gone forever, and is stored nowhere. See, that's why they use ephemeral content to manipulate, because normally there's no record of it, except with the systems that my team and I have built. We're the only team in the world that has done this. And we preserved in 2020 more than 1.5 million of these ephemeral experiences, analyzed them, found overwhelming bias on Google, not Bing, not Yahoo, but on Google favoring Joe Biden and other Democratic candidates, sufficient to have shifted, as I say, upwards of 6 million votes with no one knowing, and except for our monitoring system, with no paper trail.
So this is interesting, in particular, the way you have used Bing and other search services almost like a placebo.
Exactly. Use them as controls. Exactly right.
It's not a coincidence, Robert?
Oh, not at all, because we've been doing this over and over again. We've done it with six elections now. And in 2022, we had a much bigger system, 2,742 field agents. We preserved more than 2.5 million ephemeral experiences and have just recently finished the analysis. And again, overwhelming bias toward liberals, sufficient in the U.S. in those elections. Now, it's hundreds of elections nationwide to have shifted a total of 80 million votes, which I know sounds impossible, but it's not, because it's a lot of different elections for lots of things, you know, everything from, you know, dog catcher to governor. The point is, now we're building a much bigger system. We're building the world's first permanent monitoring system, which we're calling a digital shield. And we now have almost 9,000 field agents in all 50 U.S. states. And we have so far preserved more than 10 million of these ephemeral experiences. So we are making these companies, for the first time ever, accountable to the public. We're putting the fear of God into them. And by the way, we know that this actually works, that when you do this, when you monitor, when you analyze and you expose, these companies back off. And I can actually give you a real example.
So you have also done research on YouTube's Up Next suggestions. How do these algorithms steer people to shift public opinion too?
Well, it's the same kind of thing. In fact, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. I mean, people go to YouTube and they type something in, and then YouTube generates a list, just like Google search engine does. And so they're doing two things over and over again. They're filtering, they're deciding which videos you can see and which you can't, and they're ordering. They're putting them into an order. And that's what we do in our experiments. That's how we measure the power that these manipulations have. And on YouTube in 2022, in those midterm elections, we found that 76% of the videos that YouTube was recommending to its viewers, you know, that Up Next suggestion in the upper right, 76% were coming from liberal news sources. Now, Google would simply say, well, that's what's out there. But we checked, and actually only 38% of what's out there comes from liberal news sources.
I mean, the liberal news sources were well and truly overrepresented.
By double their actual number. And the story is much worse if you look at young people, because now for the first time, we're starting to look at indoctrination and the way these manipulations can be used for that purpose. And what we found is that 96% of those up next recommendations that are coming from their algorithm going to people under 18 come from liberal sources, 96%.
Astonishing. Astonishing. These are the theories and the conspiracies that have floated around about YouTube and Google for years and years, and you are now, well, having to prove it, and you've done it. I want to talk about the ramifications of this. I also want to talk about the plan to expose Google with a public dashboard, and you can explain that to us in just a second. I just need to pause for some news headlines, Doctor, and I'll do that right now on TNT Radio.
Hey, I got news for you.
TNT Radio News.
It's about time.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. The Pentagon is set to unveil another $2 billion military package for Ukraine in an effort to bolster the country's air defences. It comes after Kyiv launched its hyped-up counterattack against Russia. France is in shock after a father went on a stabbing spree in a children's playground in the French Alps. And former US President Donald Trump is being charged with violating the Espionage Act over classified documents found at his Mar-a-Lago mansion.
You're listening to Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I've got Dr. Robert Epstein with me. And by the way, if you'd like to dig a little bit further into what the doctor has discovered, the research methodologies, and some of his findings, you can do that by going to, I'll tell you what, I'll give you three links. I could give you many more, but I'll give you three links. MyGoogleResearch.com, MyGoogleResearch.com, MyPrivacyTips.com, MyPrivacyTips.com, and AmericanDigitalShield.com, AmericanDigitalShield.com. Can you reference any types of perverse or trivial content which big tech is diverting our attention to rather than the more pressing issues?
Well, sure. The obvious case, which you probably already suspect and a lot of people suspect, has to do with content on gender issues and sexual orientation. There's a lot of filtering and ordering going on Google, which is directing people towards certain kinds of content and which is suppressing other content. And this is simply one of the core practices at the Google company. One of the videos that leaked from YouTube not long ago showed the CEO of YouTube talking to her employees about how they were altering their Up Next algorithm to literally boost content that they think is legit and to suppress content, to move it down if they think it's not legit. And, you know, what we know is that, you know, this has enormous power to change people's thinking and behavior. And of course, that's what we study. That's what we measure.
Okay. I understand that you plan to expose Google with a public dashboard. How will a public dashboard work?
Well, right now people can get a glimpse of it. I have access to the real one that actually has that actually works and has real numbers on it. But people can get a glimpse of what's coming at AmericasDigitalShield.com, AmericasDigitalShield.com. And you'll see just a glimpse of what's coming. What's coming is a lot more with a lot more detail. But basically, 24 hours a day now, we're capturing a tremendous amount of content from Google and other companies. And we're doing calculations, and we're going to be exposing this in real time, 24 hours a day, starting later this year, so that anyone can look and see what kind of bias there is on Google, Bing, Yahoo, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. You know, is there bias? And if so, what direction is it in? Well, in the United States, all these companies have one particular political leaning. So in fact, you've got multiple platforms very selectively showing people content to shift their opinions in one direction only. The entire tech industry here, 96% of donations go go to Democrats in this country. So all the shifting is in one direction. Now, I happen to lean in that direction, but I object to this because this undermines democracy. It undermines the free and fair election. It really turns democracy into kind of an illusion.
That's very true. All right, I want to ask a question about your predilection for voting. Why is so much money being spent on a project like this with thousands and thousands of researchers in place? It's being run by someone who doesn't necessarily vote for those who would advantage from the research. How has this come about? Who funds the project?
It's very hard for us to find funding, frankly. Now and then, people like you, quite honestly, people exactly like you, call on their audiences. And, you know, Glenn Beck did this in 2020 for us. He's a radio and TV guy here.
Yep, you know Glenn Beck?
Yeah, he's become a friend over the years. And he had me on repeatedly, and he demanded that his people support this because it's very hard for us to find support. He got more than 7,000 members of his audience to make donations between $1 and $300,000. And, you know, this is to keep you propped up. I mean, it's astonishing that he did that. But, you know, but you're quite right. It's hard for us to get funding. We're struggling right now as our system
is
growing.
Well, this kind of thing is something we need to know, because the great unwashed, sure, you know, normal people that don't study politics a lot like me, normal people would look at something like that and go, what? I would never have imagined that Google would tinker with, you know, the kinds of stories that you could find on Google, or the same applies to YouTube. And at the end of the day, it should be about the quantity of material and the number of searches that are made that should dictate what comes up, right?
But that's not actually what happens. What actually happens...
I understand that. Most people would think that that's how it should happen.
Well, it doesn't. It really doesn't. In fact, documents have leaked from the company showing that they believe in what they call algorithmic fairness. In other words, they believe in altering all the content that people see to match their values and to match what they consider to be fair. And this is outrageous. This is social engineering on a massive scale. They're impacting more than 4 billion people around the world every day.
Okay. Hillary Clinton's largest donor was Google, Alphabet. What impact would that have had on the election?
Well, we knew positively, because we started monitoring in 2016, that all of Google's content was extremely biased in her behalf. I mean, the head of Google had offered to run her whole digital campaign. Her chief technology officer was a former Google executive. They were working hand in hand. And we knew that Google at that point could shift between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes to her. And she actually won the popular vote by just under 3 million votes. Now, later, the people at Google, in fact, this is another leak from the company, were kicking themselves because they hadn't been paying enough attention to a couple of swing states. And so even though Trump lost the popular vote by almost 3 million, as we predicted, he won 4 swing states by a total margin of 77,000 votes. And that gave him a win in what we call our electoral college. He won by a fluke. And they swore at Google. They did this in a video, internal video that leaked. They swore that they would never allow that to happen again.
Who are you most vulnerable to big techs tampering with controversial and political issues? Who are the most exposed to this, do you think?
Different demographic groups have different vulnerability. In the United States, the most vulnerable group we've ever found is moderate Republicans. In experiments, we've been able to produce shifts of 80% among moderate Republicans after just one search on Google. They're very, very trusting of those search results. It's very easy to shift their thinking and behavior and opinions and purchases and their votes. And Google knows it. They know who exactly is out there and who is vulnerable and who isn't, who's going to vote, who isn't. They're really very much in charge of elections around the world. And we have been approached by people from Canada, Sweden, Australia, a couple of countries in South America, asking us to help them set up monitoring systems in those countries. And we plan to, but first we've got to complete our system, which is going to take us until the end of this year.
So for those who are listening and want to follow in the footsteps of Glenn Beck's listeners and viewers, how do they contribute or donate to your cause?
Simplest way is to go to mygoogleresearch.com. So it's very simple, mygoogleresearch.com. There's lots of links on there where people can donate. There's addresses if they want to mail a check. And we are very much dependent, I just can't overemphasize that, on the support of your audience, of audiences around the world, because it's very hard for us to get support. Google floods universities around the world with research support. Guess what? They're not supporting our research.
I bet they're not. I bet they're not. Demoogle. We should rename Google Demoogle. I want to ask you this. What kind of response have you had from Google since this broke 2 weeks ago?
Well, off and on, we've had disturbing responses from Google, to be honest with you. And, you know, I was told by a reporter, actually, who called up Google to get their comments. The woman he spoke to, he said, screamed at him. And she was, a public relations person. He said he's never seen that before. And he said to me two things. He said, you have their attention, number one. Number two, if I were you, I would take precautions.
Meaning your life or your business could be under threat.
Correct.
How do we protect ourselves from this misdirection online? Do we go to Bing? Do we go to other search engines where you can safely say it's not being cherry-picked?
Well, I would start by going to my article, which is at myprivacytips.com, which begins with the sentence, I have not received a targeted ad on my phone or computer since 2014. So there are ways to use, all the new technologies responsibly, to protect your privacy, the privacy of your family. And people need to learn those. You know, they're not, where are they taught them? They're not taught them in school. They're not taught them online.
No.
So, you have to pick yourselves up, and do what you need to do to protect yourself. You have to become aware of what's going on, of course, which is very well hidden, except for, our work. You have to become more aware of what's going on, and then you have to take steps to protect yourself. And frankly, if I were out there in your audience and I had some extra cash, I would also want to support this research. Again, mygoogleresearch.com is where you would go, because we are, and it's a shame, it's awful. We are still the only research team in the world that is measuring these new forms of manipulation, number one, and that is setting up a large-scale, permanent system for monitoring the content these companies are sending to people. And without this system, we'll never, ever know what they're doing.
No.
We'll be turning over our kids, and we'll be turning over our elections, our democracy, to a couple of tech lords.
See, that's the thing. That's why I asked you what demographics were being impacted the most, because I would have thought younger, more tech savvy people would use this kind of technology more often. They would be the ones that get only one side of the issue, one side of the controversy, and therefore it's brainwashing a young generation.
The young are most vulnerable. That's why finally we've started recruiting young people, through their parents, to be field agents for us, so we can look at content that's actually going to young people. And when the first things we're seeing are so disturbing. There's no question they're the most vulnerable, and Google and to a lesser extent other companies are most aggressive with the people who are most vulnerable. And of course that's the young. And, I'm a father. I don't want my kids and my grandkids, their minds, their impressionable minds being molded by some tech companies. These companies are not accountable to us. And that's why we're building monitoring systems to make them accountable for the first time. And we are putting the fear of God into them because we've seen this. We've seen them back off on a manipulation when we went public with it. And as we expand, as we monitor more and more, as we announce more and more of our findings every day, they will back off. And if they don't, they will go to jail.
I want to read you an email I've just received, or received a few of them, by the way, while you've been speaking. Keith, one of our listeners, says, frightening, Chris, but totally expected. Can you thank Dr. Epstein? So that must be very typical of the response you have, the fact that you have told people, informed people of things that they had no idea, maybe suspected, but no idea whether it was true or not.
Of course, every single day. I mean, just think of one thing alone. Just think of Gmail, which is the most popular email system in the world. People think it's like the post office. It's nothing like the post office. The post office has to deliver mail. Gmail doesn't have to deliver mail. Whenever I send anything to anyone who has a Gmail account, Google diverts it into their spam folder, or they literally delete it. And that's perfectly legal because they're not the post office. They change content of emails. They do anything they want with emails.
So they do what they do to the search engine to our emails as well.
Of course, every single piece of content that they manage, Google Docs, Google, you name it, whatever, they have total control. You know, in fact, let me just tell you one thing here, because it's an article I published recently and people don't understand this. They have control over what stories go viral and what stories do not. Them and Twitter and Facebook, you know, they have control. And Instagram, if something is going viral, some story, some crazy story about Democrats rigging voting machines, let's say, just some crazy, crazy story that goes viral, then gets picked up by television and radio. You know how it works. The fact is, if a story is going viral, it's only because they want it to. Now, why would they spread crazy stories, crazy conspiracy theories left and right? Because they don't want you looking at them. This is called misdirection. This is what magicians do. And this is what Google and the gang, this is how they operate.
Technological sleight of hand.
And I know this, by the way, not just because of my research. I know this now because of whistleblowers from Google I've talked to face to face, from leaked documents, leaked videos, leaked PowerPoint presentations. I'm not imagining any of this. This is the way things are. And believe me, they don't like me.
And who's the power broker above this workforce around the world that instructs them to take that route?
Well, they do work closely with the American government, especially with American intelligence agencies. Google has worked closely with American intelligence agencies since before they even were formed as a company. Literally, some of the original funding for developing the Google search engine came from our intelligence agencies. So, you know, a lot of what's happening here is done in coordination with governments, especially the American government. So this is very, very big, scary stuff. You know, I have a wonderful staff of almost 50 people, and we work our tails off pretty much 7 days a week. And we love what we do, but we're also quite frightened. So, because again, we're the only, if I get hit by a bus or a Google Street View vehicle as it's, you know, filming our kids in our houses, you know, this whole thing could just stop. That would be a tragedy for the world, because we must have these monitoring systems. If we don't have them, we're turning over our kids and our democracies to a handful of these tech lords. And that's wrong.
Well done to you. And as for your life, your family's life, thank goodness you're living in Tasmania in Australia, Robert. Isn't it fantastic to be that far away from everyone? Thank you very much for your time. Fabulous to have you on the program. No doubt we'll speak again. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Chris.
Good on you. Dr. Robert Epstein, one of the most incredible interviews I think I've ever heard. One of the most incredible research projects I think I've ever witnessed. a fellow who might vote for the left, but has gone in and taken the left down big time because of the way it has infiltrated what you search, what you send, and what you receive. Amazing. Outrageous. I could just rattle off a whole heap of words here to describe what I've just heard, but maybe you'd like to comment. Alex has sent me an email. What a brilliant show today about the shenanigans Google is getting up to and the work being done to counter Google bias. Well done, Chris, and well done to your guest. Well done to Robert Epstein. Must take a break, a little bit behind now. I want to tell you, though, that at TNT Radio, we never, ever go home. We're always behind the microphone. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Remember when all the environmentalists loved COVID lockdowns because they cleaned the air and shut down cities and stopped airline travel and car travel, and it was a green utopia? Yeah, well, not so much.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A report in the Hill newspaper calls a climate paradox. New study finds emission cuts will make the Earth much hotter in the short term. Lower emissions during COVID lockdowns caused climate warming effect because short-lived cooling particles in the air were greatly reduced. So did you get that? Cleaner air causes more dangerous global warming. So lockdowns may have accelerated global warmings. Paging all polar bears, run for cover. The Hill newspaper reports, on the one hand, cutting fossil fuel pollution is necessary for avoiding severe global warming, but such cuts will make the Earth much hotter in the short term. Yes, my friend, that is called settled science. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
We're at a party. Three little kids were playing in the pool, all under five. Adults were busy talking. Glanced over, noticed a little one underwater. I think she needs help. That's how easily something can happen. It only takes a few seconds. Don't worry, the party had a happy ending. But we need to remember, fence the pool, shut the gate. Teach your kids to swim, it's great. Supervise, watch your mate, and learn how to resuscitate. I'm Laurie Lawrence. Kids alive, do the five.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
Let's get to the talkback lines. You know the numbers from the US or Canada, 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Or from Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. From New South Wales, Keith, go right ahead.
Chris, one of the most important and shocking and astounding interviews you've done in the last 20-odd years that I've been listening to you. Got to have I'm close to speechless. That is so astounding, so important, so shocking. Not one government in the world is doing the research and work that he's doing. He's right to feel fear, not just for his business, but for his life, because there are some very, very, very powerful people at play here.
And there's a lot at stake too. A lot at stake. This is the kind of thing that can turn elections, this stuff.
Well, has clearly turned elections. We know that. We know that's happened in America. We know it's happened here. We know it's happened in Great Britain. So that's just a few that we know of. But this is a great way to bring down democracy and bring in the new world order. And it is absolutely shocking and frightening. So one of the great interviews, Chris. Well done. Your show goes from strength to strength. And, mate, God bless you. That was just a brilliant interview.
You're very kind, Keith. Thank you very much. You're very kind. All came from Mr. Epstein or Dr. Epstein. And I just find it incredibly sincere that here is a bloke who may vote on the left side of politics, but he has found something that besmirches the left side of politics and is fighting so hard to have what he's found remain public, to have what he's finding open for everyone to see. And more people in the world should be spreading that story. They should be telling people what they're doing when they're searching and when they're sending emails and when they're receiving emails. The truth about how things are tampered with. We need to know about. Just amazing. It is that amazing. Really is. Now, I want to give you an update on something I've been following very closely for you for weeks now. This is out of the Epoch Times. The House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, led by GOP Republican James Comer, has now scrapped plans to convene a vote to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress. That's off the agenda. No more contempt of Congress plans underway for Christopher Wray. Comer had been after an unclassified FD 1023 form, basically a document, a secret document, that the FBI generated, which contained allegations that the then Vice President Joe Biden took a bribe from a foreign national. The committee had issued a subpoena in early May with a deadline of May 31, requesting that this document containing the name Biden was surrendered. The forms are used by FBI agents to collect unverified reports from various confidential human sources. So, you know, these get to tell the FBI exactly what might be happening so that they can follow up with an investigation to prove whether it's true or not. Well, Comer and other House Republicans had threatened to hold Wray in contempt. But late Wednesday, the committee announced that the FBI has decided to provide access to some documents, and I told you about that, including this FD 1023 form, and that the committee's business meeting on Thursday to vote on holding Wray in contempt was now scrapped. So, Comer said in a statement, after weeks of refusing to even admit to the FD 1023 record itself, the FBI has caved in and is now allowing all members to review this unclassified record that memorializes, which is a strange word to use, but memorializes a confidential human sources conversation with a foreign national who claimed to have bribed then Vice President Joe Biden. Americans have lost trust, he said, in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability. Allowing all oversight committee members to review this record is an important step towards conducting oversight. Comer said that the allegations contained within the unclassified record are not closed, as the White House and Democrats would have the American people believe. He said he noted that other FBI officials have said the record is being used in an ongoing investigation. So what is being alleged with Biden involved is part of an ongoing investigation. They are making huge steps forward in their hunt for the truth here. Comer also said, we also know the confidential human source who provided this information is highly credible and trusted, has worked with the FBI for over a decade, and has been paid six figures. The allegations contained within this record track closely with the Oversight Committee's investigation of the Biden family's influence peddling schemes. So there you have it. They've had access to the document. They've got what they want. They've compromised. They haven't dragged Wray before Congress on charges of contempt. They are getting a long way very, very fast. And I would have thought, no matter what political persuasion you might be, to find out whether the most powerful man in the world, arguably, has been involved in bribes and payoffs as he led himself to the White House is hugely necessary. We must determine the truth. That's the way I see it anyway. Now, a gay fifth grade teacher in Glendale, California. Now, remember, Glendale Unified School District was where that violence took place this week between LGBTQI plus activists and others who disagree with them, including parents. A fifth grade teacher was placed on leave after complaining at the school board meeting that his school promotes transgenderism. So a school teacher in that school has rebelled as well. Good on he or her. It's a he. Ray Shelton, a 25-year-old veteran teacher, spoke at a recent meeting of the school board for the Glendale Unified School District wearing a T-shirt that read, "Make Biology Great Again." Love the play on words. Shelton, who teaches at Mark Keppel Elementary School, has been named the Glendale School District's Teacher of the Year twice. This fellow knows his stuff. And earlier this year won the PTA's Golden Oak Award. In an exclusive interview, Shelton, who's gay, but does it matter, told the Daily Signal that his intent in speaking at the Glendale School's board April 18 meeting was to speak what he called basic common sense and truths. And he's been shown the door as a result. And you wonder why the parents have turned up to the school this week to take on these activists. This teacher has stood for the kids, not for transgender affirmation. That's an amazing story in itself. I've got to run. I've got to get you some news, and I'll come back after that. We're going to talk this afternoon to Pauline Hanson and also John Ruddick. Plenty more to come on the program. This is Chris Smith on TNT Radio.